I want to shift gears now to the Disney earnings that we got after the bell yesterday, beating on both the top and bottom lines. Shares of Disney now up over 4%. Obviously, the big number, 129.8 million paying customers at year's end, but obviously parks and a lot of other businesses in focus as well. So let's bring in Tim Nolan, Macquarie Media Tech Analyst, who's been following this very closely. Tim, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. Wanted to ask you just about the overall story for Disney, because on a two-year basis, the stock has still kind of gone sideways here. Is the pop up simply because of maybe some of the depressed expectations over how fast they could onboard people on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I think the stock took a bit of a spill when the company guided a quarter or two ago to a more moderate pace of Disney Plus subscriber additions. That seems to be the focus of most investors. And so the results that we got last night, I think, just countered that completely. I mean, Disney Plus added nearly 12 million subscribers globally, including 4 million in the U.S. So, you know, a much better number than Netflix reported. And I think it shows that Disney Plus is really back on track. That's largely due, I think, to a combination of some new markets that they're launching in, a few Asian markets in the December quarter, more markets coming in the coming fiscal 22 and fiscal 23 years. And then the timing of content releases. You know, you had that Beatles special, you had the Boba Fett Star Wars on Disney Plus, and I think that attracted a lot of subscribers.
You know, Tim, when we talk about how things could play out this year, I mean, the hope is that the pandemic, the worst of it is behind us. This is kind of the first full year of production, or the slate of production they hope to get across. How concerned are you about the costs adding up on the back of that? Yes, Disney Plus had really strong numbers, but this is just a content business, so you got to spend and spend. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are you thinking about that cost element?
Yeah, well, it's called the streaming wars for a reason, isn't it? It's a war to gain subscribers, and to get subscribers, you have to spend a lot on content. It sometimes feels like, you know, a lot of these companies, companies with streaming direct-to-consumer services are kind of stumbling over each other to brag about how much they're spending. Disney gave the number on their call last night of $33 billion in content spending in fiscal 22, a third of which is sports, of course. ESPN has expensive sports rights. And they also spoke about increasing pace of investment, particularly in the upcoming quarter, their fiscal Q2, now the March quarter, where they're going to be spending an incremental up to $1 billion for direct-to-consumer streaming content. Now, we did know, you know, conceptually that this was coming, because they had told us previously that they were going to be investing a lot in content for a big release slate to come starting around summertime, which corresponds with some new international market releases. So it's all very well planned out. A little bit of COVID production disruption, of course, last year, leading to some extra catch up now. But it's really not a surprise in general when you think that the company has said and has stuck to its message that fiscal 22 will be the heaviest year of content investment, after which the investment should be easing up, and they should get to break even on the streaming service investment process by fiscal 24. So it really is part and parcel of the entire streaming wars. We've said for a long, long time, Disney is the one company that is an absolute pole position here, given the brand strength, given the huge library, given the popularity of its content, and this amazing run of content that they're coming out with now over the next couple of years.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the brand, with great power comes great responsibility, as the Spider-Man movie once noted. But I want to ask more about the movies, because the in-theater experience was something that Bob Chapek really doubled down on, right? He was saying in the earnings call that that's going to be our North Star, and they really cleared through the Omicron variant when they released Spider-Man No Way Home. So what do you see as the importance of the in-theater experience for Disney?
You know, Disney has, like many of its studio peers, has experimented with, you know, putting some first release films directly on their own streaming service. Disney has gone a step further by charging, you know, $20 in addition to, you know, the Disney Plus fee for several of these films. But at the same time, they've kind of taken advantage of the COVID situation when people were stuck at home to do this kind of experimentation. I think the message has continued, though, from Disney, that the in-theater experience is very important. I mean, just financially speaking, it's a great way to generate interest in the film, which can then lead to follow-on viewership or people that missed it in theaters to then watch it now on the streaming services. So I think they still are committed to providing films in cinemas for people to go to. And as you mentioned, the Star Wars film, I forget what the current number is, the global gross is, I think it's approaching $2 billion or something like that. So there is a real appetite still for consumers to go to the theaters. And I think Disney is still very much behind that.
All right, Tim Noel, Macquarie Media Tech Analyst, thanks so much for stopping by. We'll have you on for the next round of earnings.
Thank you.